This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.fm to get started.
What's better than one serial killer? Two serial killers. And we're talking about both of them. We're not just talking about the Night Stalker. We're also talking about Mr. Jingles, because this is the American Horror Story After Show. We're talking about 1984, Episode 2, Mr. Jingles. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the American Horror Story After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. I am your host, Elena Jordan. Today, we are talking about AHS 1984, Season 9, Episode 2, Mr. Jingles. And joining me today, two of my favorite ladies, Kayla, Renee.
Absolutely. Hey, girl, second week back. I know you second guys don't judge me. I feel like I look bald. I cut my hair shorter this past weekend,
what?
So I just feel
you
like
look
bald.
Fantastic.
The headphones are like covering it. Thanks, girl.
Yes. Fantastic.
Hi, guys, back for another week.
And somebody else who's not bald on our panel.
Not bald. I'm Alexa.
Alexa Cappiello, aka Happy Cappy.
Happy Cappy.
I love your last name, Cappiello. Oh,
thanks.
Very Italian.
I think that's why I like it. It sounds so Italian. Cappiello.
And I love both of your opinions on American Horror Story. You ladies always have something awesome to say, and this was a pretty awesome episode. So, kind of right off the bat, what were your overall feelings on this episode?
You're looking directly at me. So
right first. Hey, you
right,
first,
awesome.
Happy Cappy.
I really, really liked this episode. A lot happened. It was almost like hard to keep up with all the action. It was just one thing right after another, and I really, really, it was like a roller coaster. I enjoyed it. I loved the accuracy of the history of Richard Ramirez.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So that was a lot of fun.
But yeah, I was just extremely excited to be on the edge of my seat. I felt like every few minutes, it was just something that was popping off. And I'm like, oh my God, is this episode two? Or
I know.
Are we in episode
six? This is
six?
Episode like, two. And it was like,
everything was happening
insane.
So fast. But yeah, I love how Ryan executed everything this episode. It was perfect.
This was a fantastic episode. And we'll not only be breaking down the whole episode as well and giving our thoughts and our comments on it, but as you mentioned, kind of talking about some of the historical accuracies and some of the liberties that were taken. And be sure to stick around for the whole episode as well, because near the end, we'll also be doing our special segment where we'll be talking about how some of the 80s slasher horror movies may have influenced this episode and the show overall, as well as giving our predictions too. So,
and of course, we have our live chat going on, so we'll definitely give our shout outs
What's
to our
up?
Viewers.
Talk to us.
Absolutely.
Talk
they're already having a discussion between each other, you guys. We'll get to you guys.
So this was a very kind of linear episode. So we'll be kind of jumping around a little bit in the story as we talk about it, because so many different things happened, but in the typical 1980s, meanwhile back at the ranch type storytelling, there were several things that happened simultaneously. So kind of the big thing I want to talk about, kind of broken up by characters, Margaret.
Ooh, Margaret is interesting.
Character.
There is a She's very
lot.
Interesting.
From the beginning, we were getting kind of some odd vibes from Margaret, but this episode starts out first with poor Dr. Karen Hopple.
I know.
Who just I thought she was going to have
a little more.
I know, considering we were talking about how we were relating her to this big character in Halloween.
Yeah.
And then it's like, nope, sorry, Hopple. You just hoppled your way right out of here.
She reminded me of, gosh, I forget her name, right? Silence of the Lambs.
Clarice.
Oh, yeah.
Is that Clarice?
Jodie Foster.
Is that your Jodie Foster? I like it. That's a very good Jodie Foster.
But she reminded me of
that accent was just like
my name
perfect.
Is Jodie Foster. No, she reminded me a little bit of her character in that, and I was like, okay, so maybe she's gonna like investigate and do stuff. Nope, dead.
Yeah, that was a total red herring plotline. They were like, this is not Halloween. Do not get excited. You did not really guess this the way that you guys thought you did.
Ryan gave her like that corny way out, though. It was like, oh, you get a tire in the middle of nowhere. Of course, it's Mr. Jingles that comes to kill her outside of her car. Like, oh,
no, it was kind of interesting, though, before her big brutal murder was the whole reason she's going to the camp is so that she can warn Margaret and say... In a Halloween-esque type Michael Myers with his fixation on his sister type deal, where she's like, look, this serial killer has a fixation with you. He wants to murder you. You can't open up this camp. You need to call the parents and be like, sorry, our camp got real murdery. Keep your kids at home. And Margaret's like,
I will not let fear dictate my
life.
She's
like, the way my God works. Like,
but this, she says this line, where she says, God helps those who help themselves. What do you guys think about this line? Because it seems like this is going to play potentially... more into the story. Like, this is kind of an intense line.
I don't know. I kind of got vibes of, like, she's like, I'm, like, I don't know, kind of, like, don't run away from, like, your problems type of thing. Like, handle it head on. In her case, in Margaret's case, she's more like, I'm gonna kill him instead of him killing me. And that's what she's like, you better hope he, like, you know, I get to him before he gets to me type of thing. So I don't know what her vibe is. It was like, if I felt weird about Margaret first episode, I feel even more weird about her now.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, it's something up with her. Her hidden agenda. I'm still trying to figure out what it is.
This is jumping ahead a little bit, but her whole convo with Richard Ramirez and the whole God
thing.
Yeah,
we'll get to that, too. Yeah, we'll definitely get to that.
God helps those who help themselves. I mean, I just feel like she's very good. Obviously, she's very good at twisting the words of the Bible to fit her own specific needs. So, I think
that's a really good point.
I feel like she's going to use it to justify violence, her own violence in the future. So...
I think definitely. And I mean, we see too that there is like this truly monstrous character with Mr. Jingles who we, after he murders poor Hopple before the opening credits, it's like, bye, Hopple.
I know.
And then cuts off her ear.
He was like, you followed me here. That was creepy.
And he's like, you're right. I am a monster. And then just, you know, adds the ear to the collection. But after this whole, and I'm still wondering, like, when are they going to find this car? Because they're going to have to at some point, like, I mean, they always have the scenario where they find whatever. I mean, the body is found later on, which we'll talk about that. But going back to Margaret, just overall, after we come back from the intro, we see her splitting up the girls and the boys, sticking to her whole religious thing of, I told you what the rules are. Boys, shower at night. Go clean your nasty bodies and get your mind
Anybody
clean.
Anybody else getting Carrie vibes? Carrie's
Very
mom
much.
Vibes.
Oh, yes. Your dirty Absolutely. Pillows. You dirty pillows.
Seriously, though. Like, maybe she's going to be like, you campers are all impure. You must all die because of
They're
all
your boys from the temptation. I'm gonna get more into it in my predictions, but I definitely feel like there were some things this episode that were some big clues potentially. But I do love that line too where they're like, oh,
sorry, go ahead.
You got really excited. I was going to say, pray the boners away, so I feel like whatever you were going to say is better than what I was
going
to say.
But going back to the first episode, we saw her as a kid, or not kid, but a teenager.
And
she was involved in that semi-threesome, but she didn't really, like, participate very well. She was, like, kind of awkward about it. So, it may all be tying into her just being like, purity. Obviously.
But I think 100% getting Carrie vibes.
Yeah.
Carrie mom vibes. To the max. But then we even hear Montana, which I think this is going to potentially be a clue too, with the line that we saw in all of the previews, which is, she's got to get later. This is going to be a really long summer.
Which I think only thing on Montana's mind.
I know. Like,
the only thing.
I love Montana. Yeah, she's great. Billy Ward is just like...
Her personality this season
perfect.
Is amazing. Yeah.
But yeah, then we have this whole thing with... Margaret, after she turns out the lights, she goes back to her cabin, and who's waiting for her but Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker himself.
I kind of want to know what was Margaret's intention for turning off all the power at the...
Because she says lights are off at that specific time. That was just part of the rules. Where it's
I was like, this
sounds
sketchy.
Which, that makes sense, because it's like, if you're trying to save money...
Yeah.
And it's like, you switch the main power. You're like, no phantom power, thank you. I told you guys,
but my thing
bed.
Was like, she told the guys to go shower. So I was like, wait, you couldn't wait
shower
till,
quick.
Like, yeah, no, like,
but they were also taking their good sweet time. Like, I didn't get my beach towel and wear the little soap.
I was enjoying that scene, though, guys. It could have gone on for, like, maybe five more minutes.
Oh, don't worry. We will definitely circle back to that scene as well. But in a more clothed scene, but a emotionally naked scene, we see... Oh, there you go.
Little late, Ryan, but thank you.
Everything I say is brilliant. You keep that at the ready, Ryan. Yeah,
sounds
that
amazing,
was it.
Ryan.
That was, he was like, that's not true. That's the biggest joke you've told on the show. But we see this conversation, which she is just not even thrown at all, that there's just a random man just chilling in her cabin.
I know.
And
she's never
like,
thrown.
No, and she's like talking him up, stroking his ego, like, you must be really smart. You must be great at school. You can figure out my cabins better than everybody else's, so I must be in charge.
She was like, you need a listener, Richard.
Yeah.
I can listen to you.
You just need somebody to... And it's like, if you can out-manipulate the psychopathic serial killer, it's like, oh, okay.
You have a profession.
Yeah. Yeah. But we see this whole juxtaposition of her super holiness and his idea of his his Satanism, and both of them being this intense religion that is pushing them to do whatever their various biddings are.
Mm-hmm.
But she even says point blank, there's two points to God and religion.
Mm-hmm.
The first being that it can explain what cannot be explained. And the second being that you can use God to explain why you did something, even something horrible. Again, everything that she is saying this episode is just like foreshadowing, mm-hmm. and also a little reference to what I've done. But yeah, like 100%. I mean, she has this line where she's like, the ultimate freedom, all you need for freedom is God plus trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about this scene? Because we see his whole backstory about, like, my mom was working and it was poisoned and I got hit in the head by a swing and then seizures and whatever. How do you think that her talking to him, do you think that this is a genuine thing, that she's actually justifying his actions at this point? Or do you think that she's just manipulating him to get rid of Mr. Jingles, which we see at the end of
the scene? I definitely think she's manipulating him. Because when going back to the whole thing about the God and trauma thing, it's like, okay, clearly she's been through something traumatic, and now she's turning to God as, like, her, like, you know, that path that she's supposed to be going on. So it's like, both of those together already equal her. So it's like something, no, she's definitely going to use Richard as, like, a, like, I don't know, like a decoy type of thing. Almost, I don't know.
A demon decoy.
Yes, like, I don't, like, Margaret is unpredictable. I don't even know where she can go at this point.
Boss lady, chopping her own wood.
But she's definitely going to manipulate him.
I mean, yeah, she's using him, but at the same time, I think she believes what she's saying,
mm-hmm.
which is why it works so well on him. But the real Richard Ramirez, I think, would have probably tried to kill her at this point.
For sure.
These are the liberties that they've been taking.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, they're taking some liberties where they're like, let's sit here and chit-chat.
Let's sit here and talk about my...
He looks so perfect.
What an amazing actor that they got.
And if you guys Google and, like, read up on, like, Richard Ramirez, I did it before we started the show, and I was, like, just, like, disgusted. I was like, oh my God, all of these, like, serial killers
are just
crazy.
Well, we've seen Richard Ramirez. We mentioned last episode, too, that we saw him in the series Hotel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where it was the Devil's Night, where mm-hmm. we then have Dr. March, where he's bringing, or Mr. James March is bringing in all of these different serial killers, and that's the first time that we saw him. But now they're really diving into this mm-hmm. whole Night Stalker, which makes sense, because if they're going for this timeline, it's like that's the biggest killer yeah. of that time.
What's interesting is that this episode is called Mr. Jingles.
Yeah.
But it's all about the Night Stalker.
Look at that. The entire studio audience just lost away. Their minds at Alexa's point.
No,
we're in front of a live Jingles. Studio audience. yeah, I think that that is really interesting that they're showing this. I mean, and ultimately, the request is you need to get rid of Mr. Jingles. You need to get rid of this man. He cannot be allowed to terrorize the children. And you cannot murder anyone on the way. This camp has had too much murder to this point. No more murdering unless you are murdering a murderer. In which case, I okay it.
Yep.
I, owner of the camp, dictator of murderers, chopper of wood.
Yeah.
Boss lady. So, yeah, I mean, before we... I kind of want to dive into a little bit of the Night Stalker, too, and about this mm-hmm. conversation. But before we leave Margaret behind too far, do we have any kind of last points about her before we really dive into the Night Stalker story?
I kind of want to know, yeah, this whole tie, I think we'll get into it, but it's like, I mean, he ended up in Margaret's cabin with Jonas's badge.
Yeah.
Like, that's how he ended up there. So it's like, I don't know, like, what... in Jonas's spirit brought him to Margaret, because you know he's like a spirit that's kind of just floating around camp right now.
Yeah, so that's basically how we get this whole kind of bringing this to the head to have this conversation, and why yeah. we assume he has not just murdered her straight out. It's
Absolutely.
Because he wants answers. At this point, the hiker from episode one, who we saw strung up on the door, who
dead, the first time,
murdered and then disappeared, as bodies are wont to do in 80s slasher movies.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, we actually finally get an explanation for why the body has moved so quickly. This I actually do like, because this kind of takes that 80s trope and adds a little bit of, I mean, I say realism to it, but it's more just explaining the scenario.
Yeah.
Because then we see Jonas again when he sees Richard Ramirez, and he says, "You're not supposed to be here." And then he gets murdered.
Mm-hmm.
And then, he's gutted. He's disemboweled. And then the second time he runs into him again and says the same thing. "You're not supposed to be here." And then is killed. And he's like, "I'm not supposed to die here. Wait, this isn't where I die."
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just these really weird little things. And we see that he's killed again. And he's like, "I don't understand how you're alive. This is freaking me out. I already murdered you. I'm murdering you again." And he takes his ID. Even though the body vanishes, luckily Jonas's 1970s ID, once in the hands of a tangible mortal, I guess, is now a tangible thing. We're still a little shaky,
a little
on
confused,
the rules of the ghosts, but it's like, okay, we have some tangible evidence
that ghosts exist.
That Jonas,
in this world.
Jonas is a ghost.
Yes, he's a ghost.
So. And we also know that he is a ghost that was a camp counselor with Margaret,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and he remembers Margaret. He was killed by Mr. Jingles, who he did not see, but he heard,
the
much
key.
Like you just heard my necklace hit the mic. You're welcome, everybody listening at home. He heard the keys.
Mm-hmm.
This, I think, is something interesting, too, because Margaret's trying to piece things together, and he's like, "I saw you, I left you, I'm so sorry. I ran."
She was the last image that, like, he seen. Like, that was the last thing that he seen before he died.
It's
so to see
creepy,
her again,
like,
weird.
Child of the Corn Margaret.
I'm still kind of stuck on this. Why is his last line, like, "You're not supposed to be here"? Why does that keep reoccurring? I'm still kind of stuck on that. Like,
yeah,
why does
you're not
that
supposed
keep
to be
up?
Here.
Yeah.
Also, I wanted so badly to see Margaret's reaction to him apologizing to her. "I ran away. I was a coward." Like, and she just, like, sort of just stares
She's
at
like,
him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's like, "Truth."
I wanted to see her reaction to that, because then I could get a better idea of who she is and what her real character is.
She's a creeper.
She's obviously
But I think that that's a testament to how good the acting is, and it's like, not gonna tell
not
you
gonna
till
tell
it's
you.
Time. But one thing that is not mysterious and enigmatic is how to find all of the amazing shows here on AfterBuzz TV.
Yeah. They're
organized so perfectly for you guys.
And absolutely. And before we move on to our next topic, you guys, we just wanted to say thank you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. For us to continue to grow, we could use your help, you guys. If you're on YouTube right now, hit that thumbs up button and subscribe. And if you're on iTunes, please give us that 5-star rating. But no matter where you are, leave us a comment so you can get involved in our conversation. Being a part of AfterBuzz TV has meant so much to all of us, you guys, and we truly appreciate you supporting us and doing what we love. So don't forget to tell your friends and family and keep enjoying our shows.
Woo, yeah. Woo. Absolutely. Woo, woo, woo.
Ow. I'm like, should we shout a couple people out?
Yes.
I'm like, you guys, our chat is like flying right now. Shout out to Nicholas Kelly. I see him in here. Charmed Original. Gracie and Ryan is back. Let me see. Let me see if I see. Billie Jean Girl 24. I see her. Let me see. There's some other people doing
Billie Jean is our lover.
The TV Blurred. Thank you guys for watching. I see some new people in here. Races Fan Rocks 4. You guys have like so unique names. But yes, you guys, thank you guys so much for tuning in and listening to us.
Yeah.
Let's dive into this.
Yeah, so kind of talking about the reason the Night Stalker is there anyway is because he's searching for Brooke. Yeah. Which, you know, he's like, okay, it's kind of the same fixation that Mr. Jingles has with Margaret, mm-hmm. the Night Stalker, Richard, which, by the way, last, I do have to say, just on air, I apologize. I definitely had been talking about Alita all day and motion capture, and I said Robert Rodriguez instead of Richard Ramirez
and none of us,
on our first
none of us
episode.
Corrected you, so we're all at,
like, it's three or four times I said it, though, so I apologize. And the director of Alita is not a murderer, as far as I know. All he's killing is the box office.
Our fans made sure to remind us, though. I went back in our comments, you guys.
Yeah,
made sure to remind us.
Don't worry. You guys are sure to be like, you're an idiot.
You are wrong.
You guys are so sharp. But, you know, yeah, much like all of the murder weapons here, quite sharp, our audience. But we have Brooke, who seems to be the only one paying attention to the news when they're doing this report that the gas station, the Red Meadows gas station they were just at, mm-hmm. is the scene of a violent murder, which is also like, and they're saying maybe it's tied into the LA murders. Guys, Brooke is trying to tell you that the reason you came out here to avoid the murderer, the murderer's nearby, so maybe listen to Brooke and
maybe
stop talking about the Where's the Beef commercial. It is delightful, but you're gonna be the beef if you don't listen to Brooke.
I mean, yes, I agree. And then also, you know, in doing some research about serial killers and Richard Ramirez, it took them a long ass time to finally put two and two together with him. I know it was the
80s.
They did not have the technology for it, but still, it is kind of on brand for them to be like, huh, is that the same guy that did this?
I mean, that was like the deal for serial killers up until there was really like a linked computer system.
Yeah.
Was if there were any murders that were done in various counties with different police departments, mm-hmm. if they were done within a certain amount of time and away from each other, then they weren't investigated together. And so that's how a lot of serial killers got away with
it. Yeah, it's like Richard's situation was like all of like the greater Los Angeles County.
And then
like
he went
all
to San Francisco for a bit.
Like, and that went from 84 to 85. Yep. Like, you got a year and nobody like caught on to any of this? Like,
there's a lot, though. This show will like point out too, though. I mean, Hotel, I know we've mentioned that one before, the first time that we mentioned Richard Ramirez on this show. Mm-hmm. Also had a lot of references to real life things, like the multitude of bodies that have been found sewn into mattresses and hotels, like,
yeah,
20 plus, like in LA alone. I'm like, cool, great, awesome. Cool.
I'm like, what hotels are these now? So I don't sleep on the mattress.
I know, and now I'm like, okay, so DNA evidence exists, there's computers, like everything. 80s were a scary time.
They were,
guys.
A scary time.
Like, this is intense. And I mean, even these flashbacks too that we see all linked together, and we see kind of these various backstories that somewhat humanize all of these characters, still freaking terrifying. I mean, yeah. We see the tragedy and the trauma between Having Margaret's backstory with Jonas and the Mr. Jingles murders the first time, to Richard Ramirez's tragic backstory and his whole seizures, medical issues, everything, to then having Montana talking about her fat camp.
Yep.
And then all of the...
all the trauma.
The traumas there. But I love that in this scene, we see Montana is kind of the difference who breaks out of this, because we even see then later going into, of course, Brooke's horrible backstory.
Right.
But Montana is the one who says sometimes a shadow is just a shadow. She's the one who is trying to be kind of a realist at this point. Why do you think that they're bringing this up at this point? I mean, do you think it is to ultimately have part of the storyline be to break Montana's belief that sometimes a shadow is just a shadow and give her this intrinsic fear that everybody else, especially Brooke, seems to have? Or do you think that it's to show that this is going to be an actual legitimate point? Sometimes a shadow is just a shadow.
No, I think Montana is basically the show telling everyone, or saying the commentary that everyone has their own trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And the way to break out from that, the way to recover from that, is to accept it and, you know, move on from it. Just it's a shadow. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to follow me for the rest of my life. It's
a
part of me.
If you imagine the worst, that's all you'll see.
Exactly. And so, I mean, they talked about how Richard Ramirez, you know, he said what, you know, his all he's known is hate. What was the line in particular? But basically that. All he's known is hate.
Pain.
All he's known is pain.
All I've known is pain. And my so whole therefore, life has been pain. If pain is the language that the earth
therefore,
speaks to me,
the world must know pain.
To the world
right. So you
that
can
sounds
choose.
Super serial killer-y.
It sounds to me like what would be with like the little star emoticons like on your MySpace page. It's like, nobody gets me. Here's a close-up picture of just my eye.
Come up here, too.
Angled up.
It's all dark.
No, but like you can let you can let your trauma, you know, envelop you and basically, you know, swallow you as a whole, or do you can move past it. And that's what Montana has done, and that's why I like her so much as a character.
I don't know, it's kind of hard, because she was kind of giving, yeah, like therapy vibes, you know, like kind of talking her down, like, yeah, this is kind of what, you know, it's like, it's okay to think that, like, you know, things are there, but it's like, you know, at the end of the day, a shadow is just a shadow or whatever, like, it's not really there. But it was like going, after she said that was when we transitioned right into Brooke's backstory. But it's like, I don't know, it's kind of hard when you've been through so many traumatic events that are kind of like happening one after another. How do you just kind of like listen to somebody and accept that advice, though? Like, oh, a shadow could be a shadow, girl.
It's
but
interesting that you bring that up, time, too, you know, like, because no. We basically do get two therapy sessions in this. We get both Montana and Margaret kind of leading a therapy session when the chief of psychology at the asylum is murdered at the beginning of the episode. So I think this does definitely have some direct ties to therapy and some allegories for kind of the different ways to approaching your demons and either using them and having it as a manipulation tactic, as a tool that can have you be kind of malleable into somebody else's design, or to have you kind of rise above your trauma and take control of it.
Right.
Yeah.
But we do, I mean, I do have to say, Montana, yes, fat camp is rough. However,
not really the same as your potential husband going crazy and killing.
Yeah, we find out, like, that was crazy. We see last episode, the ring, the wedding ring, and we're like there's going to be some reference to this. Yep. I thought this was going to be way, way, way down the road. We'll figure out the ring and we'll go, oh yeah, that ring. Nope, this episode they're like, okay, well, let me tell you about how rough last summer was. Like, you're telling me to just get over it. Last summer, the only man I have ever kissed or loved, this sweet little boy named Joseph Cavanaugh, was actually a psychotic man.
Jealousy, who
in his white man jealous rage decided to shoot his buddy Sam in the face.
His best man.
I thought it was his brother, but
I think it's his best man. It was either his best friend or his brother, who stayed the night over to calm the nerves of a shaken Brooke, and then murders her father in front of her, too.
That was crazy.
And then is going to kill her, and then dies.
Kills himself.
Yeah.
And like, you don't deserve to wear white. Like, how creepy. Then,
yeah, I'm going to put my blood red.
So now
red
I'm
going to
be in a red
it.
Dress? No, I don't it's want that like, either.
The whole thing is really, really traumatic, very upsetting. Very like Kill Bill, but
yeah, that's what
worse.
I was gonna say. Kill Billy,
yeah, but Kill weird. Billy,
Kill Billy, Kill Billy.
It's like Kill Bill, but it's like a younger version. It's like Muppets Baby. It's like Muppet Ryan. Babies, but it's Kill Bill, the animated series. Kill Billy,
oh, Lord,
Kill Billish vibes.
So yeah, I mean, this is a pretty intense backstory, and. Honestly, Brooke should be a lot more messed up in the head, I think, than she is.
She probably is, but we're just only seeing, like, bits and pieces.
I think we're just seeing her reacting to the crazy killers that are after her.
Which is like, girl, don't try to tell me about, like, shadows when this time last year, like, three people were murdered in front of me. Like,
yeah,
that
she's
I really
like,
loved.
Fat camp's like, rough, I bet. Yeah. Okay, so all the people I loved were brutally murdered
like, in
front of me on my wedding
me.
Day.
Don't
so.
Get close to me, otherwise
don't
you're going to get hurt
me
too.
Now. Back off, Chet. Everybody Chet. Gets close to me gets hurt. If you want to make a bet, Chet, I bet that you'll get you'll hurt, get Chet. You're gonna get it, Chet. That's what you'll get, Chet. Chet.
Okay, I'll stop that. I apologize. Chet anybody who's not clicked off, thank you. But yeah. We do see, and we'll talk again in our special segment a little bit more about these specific references, but we get a very specific reference here where we have the feet dangling off of the dock, and then poor Dr. Hopple's body pops right up. Decided
was
to
that
pop
who that
with
was?
The hop.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't see the hair or anything, the, so I just seen like the face.
The hair was
like
all that I saw. Yeah, it was like that 80s like cut swoop hair, aww, the short
Karen.
Haircut. Yeah. Poor Hopple's body just floats on up. And that's when Brooke runs into the Night Stalker, who tells her the way, because we all had the same question. How did you find her?
Right?
Yeah, like, how did you find this girl? Satan, I told you Satan would show me the path. All I had to do was open the door and invite him in. And it's like, no, but, like, did you get, like, a mailing address? Or, like,
catching
was
over?
There a... yeah, like, did one of my friends tell you? Like,
did you follow
how,
us here?
How? What was your course of action? Because we've already established Google isn't a thing yet, so... And he's like, how do you think I got the name Night Stalker? I'm really good at this.
He's like roaming the streets. So, I mean.
Yeah, it's he's
and
stalking.
And why is he all of a sudden obsessed with Brooke, of all people? Like,
because
I guess
she's
she
the got, one
away got
away
with the frying pan.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing we've even seen. Yeah. Like, I mean, an actual, like, Ted Bundy. Like,
yeah,
the one
true.
Person who got away. Like, he was, like, weirdly fixated on and tried to, like, find again. And
yeah.
Creepy.
Speaking of creeps, what about Xavier's dad? Daddy.
Yeah, so we see that she, well, kind of going off of Brooke here, she reunites with Montana, and then we have, like, this whole thing. The kind of meanwhile back at the ranch, when they end up meeting back up with everybody, is after the lights have gone off, mm-hmm. and Xavier gets tackled, and we're like, oh no, which one of the two murderers is it gonna be? It's gonna be one of the two murderers.
I was like, not Xavier.
Nope, it's Blake.
Big Daddy
Blake. And we're like, who's Daddy Blake?
I literally
Blake?
Thought like, it was his dad for like 2 seconds until
Blake?
It started going. I was like,
well,
okay.
As soon as he was like, my boys don't call me that, I was like, oh, so Xavier's got a pimp?
Yeah, that's what
yeah,
I thought
that's
too.
Like, yeah, that's 100% daddy. What it was. And Xavier's like, I wanted to be an actor.
And then I did
like,
porn instead.
I did one porn, and he's like, you gave me that sweet D once. You're going to give me that sweet D for all the days.
He told him, like, gay.
Daddy Blake.
What do you say, like, gay pays or
gay
something?
Gay for
like
pay.
That. Yeah, okay. Gay for
you
pay.
You don't have to be gay, you're gay for pay. I'm Daddy Blake. That's what I say.
And you know
I've turned
funny?
Everything into a rap, because like a really bad 80s rap.
Everything rhymes. It's hilarious. You know what was weird and kind of funny? Okay, so like when they were in the car, Daddy was like, you're a Rembrandt, right? So mm-hmm. I like Googled yeah. it and I was like, what's the definition of that?
It's
but
painter.
It was a Dutch artist. Yeah, so
yeah.
I was like, what's
a Rembrandt,
the...
Rembrandt, it's an expensive painting.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
he's
so
saying,
like
you're
an expensive...
Rembrandt. Like
okay.
you're a work of art. I'm uh-huh. not going to get rid of my expensive work of art. Like,
for,
I can
yeah.
get a bunch of money off of this video, and if I keep shelling out your wiener for cash for me,
where this is my money art. Making industry.
Yeah. My okay. Rembrandt, my Picasso, my Van Gogh.
Okay. That's funny. And he's Van like, Gogh. I have someone else for you.
Yeah.
Good old Chet.
What the hell, man? You're just gonna like pimp out your buddy then? It's like you're gonna trade him up. And I was like, which wiener is it? Was it Chet or Race? Because they didn't really focus in. And I was like, Trevor's there too.
Yeah.
Whose wiener are who should we be congratulating here?
Probably I think he was going for Chet.
Yeah, or the other guy, or Ray? Matthew, what's his name's character? The guy. Trevor, yeah.
I mean, but how does he know? He just met Trevor. He already knows Trevor's wiener.
Well, Trevor keeps on talking about his wiener all the time.
That's true. Trevor,
you know what's funny?
He's
massive. Wait, when Blake was looking through the hole, was that Trevor's body we were looking at, or was that Chet's?
We're seeing a mix of all of them.
Okay,
I'm
yeah.
I'm not upset with the shower scenes, but this was also very 80s.
All we seen was abs.
Like, every 80s movie has some shower scene, but I like that this was looking at the boys instead of the girls, because, like, every 80s movie is, like, somebody's looking through
the people, the girls. In the gyms, like, the
I
locker room.
I can that, yeah.
So I like that this kind of inverted it, and it was like, well, let's look at some dongs then. Yeah. And it's like, oh, really? You want to see a big pole? Guess what? You're going to see it real up close when it goes through your eyeball. Blake. Look at that. Ryan's ready.
When being a peeping Tom goes wrong.
Yeah, man. Being a peeping Blake means you're going to get an impaled, one impaled daddy. One daddy on the skewer.
Skewer daddy.
Not skewer daddy.
Shishka dad.
Shishka dad. Oh, my God.
Elena's hilarious.
Yep, that's the noise.
Wait, where'd that sound?
That was just Ryan's personal.
I was like, was that Blake? Hold on.
Blake. But yeah, so we see that then Blake is impaled. And I love that in true American Horror Story fashion, they did just bring somebody in just to murder them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, but this is what Roanoke tried to do and didn't do as well. This is how you do it. Like, they did this the correct way. They brought in somebody that we don't like. We kind of got rid of one problem where it was like, oh, thanks, serial killer. This guy was kind of a douche. Like, this was going
to
be an issue.
And then
we get to
see Xavier be a little bit of a manipulative asshole, too.
Yeah, and like, pretend that like, I don't know who that guy is.
Also, where was he when Blake got impaled?
He ran. Remember, he ran off into the trees.
Then I must have been writing notes at that point.
And then he came back, and that's when Trevor was like...
He must have been hiding behind the trees.
He's like, holy... I think this guy was checking me out. And then he's the one who also discovers it's not the Night Stalker who did this. This was somebody else who did this. Because this is when they're reunited with the girls and the whole gang comes back together, Scooby-Doo style.
Right.
They're all reunited to be like, these are the clues we found. We found this decapitated body.
Let's head
to the
van.
Body. We found a different body floating in the river. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, let's
get to the van.
To the mystery machine. And they can't get it to turn on. And finally, Chet admits that he did do steroids because he doesn't want to die with a guilty conscience.
Right.
The comic relief that's scattered through in here is just perfectly peppered in. But then Rita, who was in the infirmary and heard the keys jingle, has apparently just run into the road to warn everyone because that's the safest way to do it, is to just wave your arms in the middle of the street. These idiots who have already hit someone, like, you know, they've got a bad track record.
Right.
They can't drive. They run right into the friggin' car, so now nobody has a car except for friggin' Trevor's crotch rocket that's back at the camp and Rita's rabbit, her tiny car, that they now have to split up.
This is always a horrible decision every time.
Where Brooke, Rita, Chet, and Ray are going to go to the infirmary to go get the keys, whereas Xavier, Trevor, and Montana are going to go elsewhere. Everybody's got their own missions. But ultimately, we start hearing killers banging on both doors. And we're like, how? How is this even possible? Oh, wait, we've already established there's two killers. So...
Ladies, do you feel the same way I do about Mr. Jingles? And I wish... What the heck
I
was that?
I don't know what that is.
No, I just wish that they didn't show his face. Like, almost a la Scream, a la Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
I know what you did last summer.
Yes, I wish that they had him in a mask, because seeing his face humanizes him, and I don't want to know too much about him. I just want to be scared of him.
It's like, sir, you look like Benjamin, not Mr. Jingles.
I'll give you that.
I just feel like they showed their cards a little too early with that.
That particular card.
Yeah,
you're right. I'll give you that.
I kind of do wish she had like a little mask on or something.
Do you guys have any last thoughts on this episode before we dive into our special segment and kind of talk about some specific films that were referenced?
I'm honestly kind of just wanting to know more about Jonas and Margaret. Like, how did he die? Why is he this ghost that keeps popping up? Why is his line like, you're not supposed to be here? There's something else going on. I'm trying to figure it out.
Was seeing him three times a reference to the Jonas Brothers?
Yeah, I'm with her. I want to know more about Jonas. Mm-hmm. I'm confused. There's ghosts now. I'm just like, what is happening? I want to know for sure more about Jonas. How he's there.
I'm really into this episode. I'm with you guys. I definitely want to know more about Jonas. Because that was kind of a step away from what we've seen of the traditional 80s tropes, which we'll kind of talk about right now in our special segment. Ooh, yeah! So we had some various 80s references. We also had some very specific horror references. We talked a little bit of I Know What You Did Last Summer, where we even have the title screen, Last Summer, pops up for Brooke's backstory. Do you guys think that Brooke actually did cheat with Sam?
I don't know. She just looks so terrified that it's like, you never know. Yeah, I'm like, she looks so innocent, but you know, the most innocent ones are the...
I Know What You Did Last Summer makes me think that she did.
She probably did. Well, the look on Sam's face when he was like looking like, I just slept on the couch, bro. I just slept on the couch. Like, you know what I mean? He just kind of looked like, something could have been there, but she was just like looking at him like, no, I didn't do anything. You know, like, I don't know. Maybe their faces did have a little bit of guilt on it, but...
I wasn't thinking that way, but now I
wasn't
kinda,
either. But now
I kind of
like,
am, and I like that because it makes Brooke a little less. I'm a lost lamb in the
woods.
She's
a little spicy.
Now it's a little spicy.
She's the stereotypical like innocent virginal character, which we're assuming at this point that they're assuming that she is portrayed as the virgin because the only boy she'd ever kissed. Killed himself last year before they got to consummate their marriage. So, they're still, unless that trope has been circumvented and she did cheat with Sam, which I'm thinking could potentially.
Right, but also she's kind of a badass. She's escaped death how many times now? Yeah.
As many times as Jonas has not.
She's for sure giving Carrie vibes. No, like for sure.
Yeah.
Now that I see it, like this episode.
And we definitely see this episode, if you guys are taking your shots at home. Our Friday the 13th reference is full swing in this episode, literally, where we have her swinging her legs on the dock and then having the body pop up. This is a direct, almost shot-for-shot take from it. So that was really cool. And then turning and seeing the murderer on the dock. So that was a really cool one. There were a few different references in this one, but I was surprised that a lot of them were kind of circumvented. Did you guys pick up on any other horror tropes?
I mean, the big one that I wrote down was Carrie. I just kept on getting Carrie.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know. It was like Carrie, Friday the 13th, and I kind of got bits and pieces of like Texas Chainsaw, but I'm like, I'm not too sure. I'm like the whole...
Oh, definitely Texas Chainsaw.
Like,
with
the
van.
Yeah, I'm like the whole van aspect, but...
Now, also like, kind of talking about the mom and Carrie, the mom in Friday the 13th, Jason, who the mother ends up being the murderer, that was kind of the same thing, was where she was like, this was her comeuppance for the counselors.
Yeah.
That weren't doing their part. They were too busy whoring and drinking and debaucheries and the sins. So I feel like that is probably going to tie in a little bit, too. So before we dive into our predictions here, I know we did have a little bit of news as well, which was that...
AfterBuzz TV News.
Boom. Last week did real, real well. Real, real well in the ratings. In fact, other than NFL football and all of the Monday Night Sports Center, everything, American Horror Story debuted. It was the top scripted.
Wow.
Yeah, episode of anything last week. Debuted at number 6, just after all of the sports premieres. So it was the week's highest rated scripted cable show with a 1-point rating in the 18 to 49 demo. 3.35 million wow. viewers.
People love wow. the 80s.
Wow. People love death. The 80s. They love death. They love American Horror Story.
They do.
And so do we.
We do.
And absolutely. We love where it's going and where we think it might go. So let's talk a little bit about our predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So, I think definitely Margaret killed all those kids.
Like, why was I about to say the same exact damn thing?
Like, Margaret killed all those kids. Margaret, I think, teamed up with Mr. Jingles. I think that it was a co-team-up thing that went awry. Mr. Jingles took the blame for it. And was ultimately locked up, and that's why he's coming back.
Yeah,
like I was literally going to say the same thing. Like yeah, Margaret has to I be
think
like
100%. And I think it's the same thing where it was she got freaked out and embarrassed and worried about her own sexuality during the whole three-way thing. Mm-hmm. Freaked out, started murdering. Then people saw that she was murdering, and so she was like, gotta kill the witnesses, and just killed everybody. Full murder spree. Jonas almost got away. His unfinished business is that he was ultimately killed by Mr. Jingles, and that is the one that was caught and what ultimately got him locked up.
I was literally going to say the same exact damn thing, because I'm just like, it has to be like she was the one who's doing all the murders or whatever, and then Mr. Jingles ended up being blamed for it or took the blame for it, but now that's probably his revenge to get back at her for that. But what kind of creeped me out, okay, so in the first episode, going back to like the threesome, right, the girl in episode 1 looked totally different from the flashback that Jonas had of Margaret, because it was like Margaret had like 2 pigtails, and I don't remember the girls in the bed having like 2 ponytails with like little bows on them. It was like she was kind of standing there through like the window when he was on the other side, and it was like she kind of had like pigtails, and I was like, I don't think that's like her, but it was like
in it, but I think that she? I think that it's intentionally done where it's you can't discern if it's right. the same person.
Okay, but yeah, either way, I'm just like, him being like the last person to see her was like, I don't know,
staring then, all children of the corn through the window. Yeah, like, definitely no was reaction. Just like
creepy.
Yeah.
And
like,
then to see him is like, so you are alive. Like, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, damn, I didn't kill everybody. Yeah. Like, how did you get here? And now she's all like curious and stuff. I don't know. Margaret. Ooh.
I agree, but with one exception. I don't think Mr. Jingles is coming back to kill Margaret. I think they're in cahoots.
I think that that's what it is too, because when they talk about the getting laid line, I think that they're boning. I think mm-hmm. that that's like a big thing. I think that they were actually like together.
No, she literally, the way she was talking to Richard Ramirez, she was like, I understand you. And the way she was talking, it was almost kind of sexual, the way she was talking to him. So, like, I feel
you
like she's me. Had that sort of
yeah, she's like,
relationship me, before with Jingle, 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 Jingle Man.
Who now?
Jingle, Jingle, you will hear my
oh, my God. That's
you
what
will
you were
hear
doing.
My
and I am
rain.
Upset by everything now.
But, like, for real, that's what's going on.
Yeah,
Mr. Jingles is the sad janitor who had the key to every facility at the camp, and he just got turned into like the serial killer of camp
until Margaret was after that North Pole. Am I right? Am I right?
But hey,
Blake's not the only one getting impaled, is what we're saying,
right?
We are making some serious predictions about some serious firewood.
What do you got last prediction? Did we get yours?
That was it.
That was okay. it. That they're banging.
That they're banging. That they're actually in
secret lovers.
One, yes.
Yeah, and they're lighting up that firewood.
Secret
love. I'm just wondering how many different allegories and references and double entendre we can make before we run out of time.
Oh, Elena.
Wait, let's see what our viewers predicted before we get out of here.
All right.
Let's see. Okay, so let me scroll up a little
bit. Pull up some predictions, and I'll just keep talking about things that I think are happening on the show. I think that at some point that the video is going to get out and everyone's going to see Xavier's wiener.
I hope
not. Except for us.
Wait, hold on, Elena. So Nicholas Kelly actually shouted you out. He said, at Elena Jordan, so did anyone besides me get some strong Sally McKenna vibes off our girl Montana Duke? Could this be very well foreshadowing her future?
Oh, Hypodermic Sally. This is early Hypodermic Sally. I don't know, though, because it was supposed to be kind of the same time. Like, it was going into the 90s, so this could be. But I feel like it could potentially, Montana could potentially be Hypodermic Sally. I could see that happening, but I feel like they're two different characters.
Okay.
Personally. Billie I don't Jean, know. They're both badasses, though.
Billie Jean Girl 24 says she predicts that we're going to find out that Margaret killed the campers and framed Mr. Jingles. Now he wants revenge on her. Yeah, we kind of thought that. Charmed
and,
Original.
Because we think that, though, now I'm thinking it's going to be a psych out. And
it's going to be. It might be what I said.
It's never going to be predictable.
And something's up with Rita. Something's up with Rita 100% because why is she still here? She should have GTFO'd because she's way too smart for this place. But speaking of GTFOing, it is time for us to do that.
Time for us.
Unfortunately, we must say our farewells until next week. We will be back for the third episode of American Horror Story 1984. Absolutely. Until then, where can everybody find you guys?
You can find me on Instagram at Alexa Cappy, CAPPY.
Rhymes with happy.
You guys can find me on Instagram at @_KLaRenee and on Twitter at @CatchingK, and catching is with a K.
Yeah. And you guys can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at Elena J. Jordan. And you can catch me interviewing all of your favorite celebrities on MEA Worldwide. That's MEAWW.com. You'll find all of us here back next week as well. Leave us a comment in the chat. We'll see you guys then.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.